Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
The study of Ruth chapter 4. And that's why God introduced the sacrificial system, because the sacrificial system immediately bore or covered or atoned for the sin problem that humanity have had. And so Romans 3 verse 19 said that all would become guilty before God. And then he says in verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law, listen to this, is the knowledge of sin. Now I would write like this, by the law is the knowledge of righteousness. But Paul, who knows the law far better than you and I, who live under the law before he have accepted the Messiah, he says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. You know, when I look at the law, what do I see? That I'm a sinner. That I'm like Rut Hamoavia. I am unable to enter into the congregation of the Lord on the basis of trying to improve myself and to produce a system of works. And God says, no, by the law is only the knowledge that you have come short. And notice what it says in verse 21 of Romans chapter 3. But now the righteousness of God, Tzidkat Elohim, without the law, is manifested being witnessed by the law and the prophet, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Yeshua, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no different. Look at us. Some of us are Jewish here, some of us are not. There is no different when it's come to our standing before God. The law condemned us, and yet grace in a Messiah, Yeshua, provided a way of salvation. Now turn with me also to Romans chapter 8, please. Now here is where it's applied to the nearer kinsman redeemer who said, I cannot. Look what Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 3, for what the law could not do. Every time I'm reading this, it's fascinating. What the law could not do. You mean the law could not do? What the law could not do? Well, look what the law could not do, because it was weak through the flesh. What does that mean? The problem is not with the law. The problem is with your flesh and with my flesh. Because the law could not produce a holy man, a holy woman, because of your flesh and mine. It was weak through our flesh. Then look what God did. What the law could not do because it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son, this is the Mashiach of Israel, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. When the Redeemer, the Goel, the Mashiach, Yeshua, came to this world, he appears just like you and I, spirit, soul, and body, a human being, living here upon the face of this earth, in the likeness of sinful flesh, but there was no sin in Yeshua. And God judged him. God punished him in order for him to become a sacrifice for us, that you and I now can never be condemned if we only believe that he is the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Redeemer. So the law was given not in order to produce righteousness in us. It was given to show us that we needed so much the kinsman Redeemer. We need the Goel. And by the way, it didn't start when Boaz did what he did with Ruth. It's already started in the Garden of Eden. When Adam sinned, God had to kill an animal in order to cover Adam's externally, but also internally, when the blood was shed of an innocent animal From there on, God showed us throughout the history of our people Israel, and even in the present day dispensation of the ecclesia of the assembly, that we need a redeemer, we need a goel. And here we see the typology of the coming redeemer in a man by the name of Boaz. So, we find out, number one, that Deuteronomy tells us that it's not that he didn't want to redeem, but Ruth tells us that he could not redeem. And no one ever will be able to redeem another because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so now, please come back to our chapter. And here we are in Ruth chapter 4. And now notice what happened here in verse 13. This first redeemer, this nearer kinsman, he says, I can't do that. I'm not going to mar my inheritance. I can't do that. So Boaz said, I'm going to do that. Few of us spoke after the meeting last week, and we talked about, we said, if Boaz was a godly man, how come he was willing to do something that actually, according to the law, he couldn't? Well, here, beloved brothers and sisters, the type is always come short of what the antitype is. In every picture in biblical time about Yeshua the Messiah, every type comes short. And so Boaz was doing something to point to the Mashiach, who was going to do something that was unimaginable, that God will send forth the Messiah to come to this world to redeem a people for himself. And so what we learn here now, how Boaz did something that is beyond what the near kinsman redeemed, because Boaz is a type of the Messiah. It reminds me of the verse Paul said, Romans 5 and verse 8, while we were yet sinners, the Messiah died for us. Verse 10 of Romans chapter 5, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled by the death of the Son, God's Son, Yeshua the Messiah. And then he continues, and he tells us here now, even earlier in verse 6, when we were without strength, in due time, the Mashiach, the Messiah, died for the ungodly. Boaz is a representation of the Messiah who have gone beyond what the law could do. And he really represents before us the grace of God. Chesed Elohim, by grace are ye saved through faith. And this is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. So, now notice what he does. Verse 13, where we begin our reading today, we have the marriage of Boaz and Ruth. Look what it says. And Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. Now again, it's so beautiful. The Hebrew word, lakachat, he took her to become his wife. Now can you imagine what happened with this woman by the name of Ruth? Just a few months earlier, when she came from Moab, she left all the idols, she left her family, she left her land, and she embraced the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Naomi. And something happened in her life. Something changed in her life. Now she is no longer a pagan, you might say, worshiping idols there in Moab. She is worshiping the true and living God, the God of Naomi, the God of Boaz, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And now she became the wife of this man of valor, Ishchail, this man by the name of Boaz. Now, you see the progression, beloved brothers and sisters. The name here in verse 13, she became his wife, is the Hebrew word Isha. Ish, Isha. Now, you will notice the progression. Just turn back to chapter 2 of Ruth. And in verse 10, he said, she fell on her face, and she bowed herself to the ground, and he said unto him, this is to Boaz, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou should take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? The Hebrew word here is nochria. I'm a stranger. Why do you care for me? She said to Boaz in chapter 2 and verse 10. Now, if you go a little bit further in chapter 2, and in verse 13, she's using again, but a different word. She said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid." Here she used the word shifcha. It's not only Nochriya, who is a far away stranger, but she's now become a servant. I am your handmaid. I am Shifcha Shelcha. Shifchatcha in Hebrew. Then if you just go a little bit further in chapter 3 and verse 9, and he said, "Who art thou?" And she answered and said, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid." Here she called herself Amma. In Hebrew, Amma means a servant who is eligible to marry. And now when we get to chapter 4 and verse 13, she is called Isha, a wife. Now you notice the progression? Nochriya, stranger. Shifcha, a servant that is at a distance. Amma is a servant that is liable and eligible to get married. And finally, an Isha. There is a progression. And again, I want to make an application. It is very much the same in your case and mine. We were lost in trespasses and sins. We had no hope whatsoever, whether we are Jewish or whether we are not Jewish. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But when the Messiah came, our Boaz, Yeshua HaMashiach, and when he paid the price for our sin and sins, when he died for us on the tree, he brought us nearer than we can ever be. From a stranger to a servant, that is eligible to get married and ultimately the wife. And you know the assembly, the ecclesia called the bride of the Messiah. Israel is a nation called the wife of Jehovah. The wonderful relation that we have been brought into, nobody can earn it on its own. Nobody can pay for that. This redemption has been totally the work of our Lord God through the person of Yeshua the Messiah, which Boaz is a representation of. And so she became his wife. And notice, as it is, the marriage night, you might say, he went in unto her. And notice that it says, "And the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son." You notice that you can see it throughout Scripture. The proof of the marriage is when the husband and wife will have this physical relationship. And you notice that now he went in unto her, and it says, look at this, in that verse 13, "And the Lord gave her conception." You know, ladies, it is the Lord who is enabled a woman to bear a son. You look at the history of our forefathers. Do you know that Sarah was barren? Do you know that Rebecca was barren? Do you know that Leah was barren? Do you know that Rachel was barren? It is only as the Lord opened her womb that they were able to bring children into this world. And here we learn something that is very fundamental. It says the Lord gave her herayon, conception. It is the Lord who is enabled a person to bring forth a child. It is only of the Lord. And how wonderful to see that he is in control over all things. There is nothing that he is not in control of. He is the one that allow her to give birth to a child. It is tremendous. And you notice it says here that the Lord gave her conception and she bare. And you notice it doesn't say a daughter. It says a son. Not that a daughter is not valuable, but in the way, in the procedure in which God is intending now to bless Naomi and Ruth and to give them descendants so they can carry on the family, the son, the ben, is essential to be born because it goes always from the father. You know, unfortunately today we are being told by the rabbis that if you want to call yourself Jewish or a descendant of the people of Israel, it must come through the mother. But it's not found in the Bible. The Bible teaches us it is always through the male men. The father, Isaac, begat Jacob. Jacob begat his 12 sons, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and so on. It is always through the male men. And he gave her a son. And by the way, if you will look at some passages, you read in Genesis 11:30, you'll find out that Sarah was barren, but then later on God opened her womb in chapter 21 in verses 1 and 2. Later on, Rebecca also, in chapter 25 and verse 21, God have opened her womb and she bore a son, a child. And then obviously later on, Leah and Rachel, Leah and Rachel, Genesis 29 verse 31 and Genesis 30 verse 22, you can see that God was the one who opened the womb and he allowed them to have a child. And by the way, that word conception comes from the Hebrew word herayon, to conceive. And it's already in the earlier part of the book of Genesis where we find in Genesis, she conceived and bare a son. You remember that? And Adam and Eve conceived. God gave her herayon to be able to bear a son. And she ultimately gave children, Cain and Abel. So in Ruth chapter 4 and verse 13, we see Boaz marries Ruth. She's now become his wife. She had been elevated, had been brought so high. And I want to say this to you and I. When you and I sometimes feel discouraged and maybe feel, I'm not so important and nobody cares and nobody understands who I am, I want to tell you the biblical truth that we have here as we find in Scripture. You and I are so precious to the Lord, to Yeshua, the Messiah. He loved us so much that he brought us to himself, and our relationship with him is eternal. No one will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is through our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. We are linked with him eternally, as we have sang. There is no condemnation for those that are in Yeshua, the Messiah. Nothing will separate us from the love of God through our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. Even though at times we get so discouraged and we are not satisfied, as if there's so many challenges in life, yet we have been elevated and brought into such a relationship with Yeshua that we could never get nearer than the relationship that we have with him even today. So we can be thankful to the Lord for that. And so now, brothers and sisters, look at this. Verse 14 to verse 17, look what the words of the women of Bethlehem, how they blessing Naomi. Look what they are saying now. Verse 14 and 15, they are saying to Naomi, and I'm going to read these two verses, and the women said unto Naomi, blessed be Jehovah, the Lord, which has not left thee this day without a kinsman, without a goel, that his name may be famous in Israel. Verse 15. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, she have borne him. You know, it's very amazing. Here's the Jewish women in the city of Bethlehem now is speaking to Naomi. A boy was born. A child was born. A son was born to Naomi. Five things they are saying to Naomi here in verses 14 and 15. The first thing they said to her, you know, God never left you without a goel. Verse 14, the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord which has not left thee this day without a goel, without a kinsman. You know, God loved Naomi. And he never left her without a goel. You remember when she came back, she says, the Lord treated me bitterly. Don't call me Naomi, pleasant. Call me Mara, because the Lord have treated me bitterly. He have allowed me to experience all kind of things in my life. But yet now the women, the Jewish women in the city of Bethlehem saying, Naomi, the Lord had blessed you so much because he has not left you today, this day, without a kinsman, without a goel, without a redeemer. He didn't leave you alone. He provided for you someone that can carry on the family name. Now, by the way, that he didn't leave you without a kinsman, that time has a reference to the baby boy that was born. In fact, this is one of the only time in the scriptures where you have the word kinsman, goel, applied to a baby that is born. Because he will be the one who will carry on the name of the family of Naomi. The name of the family of Mahlon, because Mahlon died, Kilion died, Elimelech died. There were no men in the family. And now here is this boy that was born. He is going to be that redeemer, the kinsman that will carry on the name of the family. Secondly, they said to her in verse 14, the Goel's name will be famous in Israel. That his name may be famous in Israel. And it is amazing because in Israel, in biblical history, among our people Israel, this man that was born to Ruth HaMoaviah become a very important person. We'll find out his name in a moment, because of what happened. He served to be a link. You might say a missing link. And only to bring about ultimately David, the king of Israel, David Melech Israel, through whom the Mashiach was going to be born, to come into this world. So they said to Naomi, Naomi, his name is going to be famous among the people of Israel. Thirdly, he's saying here, this Goel will be to you, Naomi, a restorer of your life. You see, and I'm reading again, in verse 15, it said, and he, this is the boy that was born, the child that was born, he shall be unto thee a restorer of life. Now, could you imagine what would have happened should Boaz will not take Ruth HaMoaviah to become his wife, and he will not raise up a seed to his family, to Mahlon and Elimelech? You know what would have happened? The family continuity will end. And they will not have their name established among our people of Israel. And therefore, what happened here is that young child who came forth out of a relationship between Boaz and Ruth become a restorer of the life of Naomi's family. Because he is going to continue the name of the family. Notice fourthly, in same verse 15, the Goel will be the one that will nourish you, Naomi, in your old age. And so we read in verse 15, they said, and he will be a nourisher of thine old age. Now Naomi gotten up in age. Time passes by. And now she's getting up old. She cannot bear children anymore, as she has already told it to Ruth and Orpah when they were beginning their journey towards Bethlehem. She said, you think I'm going to be able to get married again and have children again so you can marry my sons? You can't. Go back, daughters. Go back to your own land and to your own country. She couldn't bear children anymore. Unless God in a miraculous way would have done something similar that he done to Sarah. You remember at a very old age, she gave a child to Abraham Avinu, Abraham our father. But normally, humanly speaking, she was not able to bear children anymore. And so as she got up in age, this boy, this son, this child become for her a nourisher of Naomi in her old age. And finally, the fifth thing that we find out in verse 15, Ruth became to Naomi better than seven sons. And so we read in verse 15 at the end, it says, which your daughter-in-law which loved thee, it says here, which is better to thee than seven sons, she have borne him. Now you can see how grace supersedes everything. You see, here is Ruth, who was a nochriah, she was a stranger. She was shifcha, she was a servant. She was ama, she was a mere servant. Now she became Isha, the wife of Boaz. And now she had been such a blessing to Naomi, her mother-in-law. And you know why, beloved brothers and sisters? Because she trusted in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because she said, your people shall be my people, your God shall be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death do part thee and me. Ruth was a godly woman, a woman of valor, eshet chayil. She was the woman of Proverbs chapter 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? She became such a blessing to Naomi, even better than seven sons. Now remember, the only two sons that Naomi have had, Mahlon and Kilion, they left the land. They went away from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Even their name mean Mahlon, sickness, and Kilion, consumption. They were not representing the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but Ruth, HaMoaviah, she have embraced the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and she became better than not only two sons, but seven sons. And so we read about the marriage itself in verse 13 of Ruth 4. We read about the women of Bethlehem, and that in verses 14 and 15, they now began to bless Naomi. And so now in verse 16, Naomi now take care of the newborn child. And so we read in verse 16, that Naomi took the child, she laid it in her bosom, and she became a nurse unto it. Now there are three things that are mentioned here in this verse about Naomi. She took the child. It just shows us that now this son going to be, in a sense, a child of Naomi, even though, of course, he was the child that belonged to Ruth and Boaz. But remember that Boaz was now raising up the seed of the family of Elimelech and Mahlon. To continue on, in a sense now, she became now to him as a mother. It says here also in verse 16 that she laid it in her bosom. The Hebrew word for bosom here is becheika. It's not that she fed the baby, no, but it's just she embraced him. It just speaks of affection and care for this little child that was born.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.